Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Gardaí have seized a number of items today in connection with over 4 million euro worth of cocaine washing up in Donegal last year. Tributes continue to be paid to a Donegal woman and her two daughters killed in a road crash on Tuesday. 4,170 children are living in emergency accommodation in Ireland, a new record high. And Donegal County Council's Fianna Fáil whip believes the difficult task for Simon Harris as he prepares to take on the role of Taoiseach will be gaining the trust of his own party. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher will have all the latest in sport. And the farming news and views will also be coming up shortly with Chris Ashmore. First up in news, Gardaí have seized a number of items today in connection with over 4 million euro worth of cocaine washing up in Donegal last year. The searches were carried out this morning in Dundalk. Donal Kavanagh has more details.
Gardaí from Donegal, assisted by Gardaí in Louth, conducted searches at a number of locations in Dundalk today. It's part of an investigation into the circumstances surrounding the discovery of packages containing cocaine at beaches in Fanad and Dunfanaghy on July 19th last year. The 60-kilogram haul of drugs had an estimated street value in excess of 4 million euro. Items of potential evidential value to the investigation have been seized during today's searches. They include electronic devices and documents. Gardaí have confirmed that no arrests have been made.
Tributes continue to be paid to a Donegal woman and her two daughters who lost their lives in a road crash on Tuesday. 47-year-old Una Bowden from Rafoe and her daughters, 14-year-old Kira and 9-year-old Saoirse, died when the car they were in hit a truck on the N17 in County Mayo. Investigations are continuing. Meanwhile, a man has died in a crash in Roscommon. Cleisha Conley has more.
The man in his 20s died after the car he was driving collided with a lorry on the Athlone Road at Newtown at around 10 o'clock last night. He was taken to Port Iuncula University Hospital in Galway, where he was pronounced dead. The road was closed overnight for an examination of the scene. Diversions are in place via the N63. However, Gardaí say the diverted route isn't suitable for larger vehicles. Meanwhile, Gardaí in Dublin are also appealing for witnesses after a woman was knocked down in Ringsend last Wednesday morning at around 8 a.m. at Cambridge Road and Thorncastle Street. The woman, who was aged in her 50s, has since died in hospital from her injuries. Investigations, meanwhile, are continuing into a crash in County Mayo, which claimed the lives of a mother and her two children. Last night's crash brings to 55 the number of people who've died on the country's roads so far this year, which is 13 more compared to the same date last year.
4,170 children are living in emergency accommodation in Ireland, a new record high. There was a 10% increase in the number of adults homeless in the northwest, totalling to 173, 70 of which are from Donegal. The northwest seen 22 families without a home last month. That's one more family than in January. However, the number of children seeking emergency accommodation remains the same at the figure of 49. Paul Sheehan from the Simon Communities says it's not getting easier for people in emergency accommodation.
It's very tough having to turn somebody away and saying, no, we don't have a bed for you tonight. Obviously, it's not as tough as the person who is being turned away. There's still a bite in the winter. We've experienced that over the last few days. It looks like for the foreseeable future, it's going to be wet. You're trying to survive in wet, cold, damp conditions, pretty much looked down on by society.
Well, government failed to deliver on its own targets for the number of social and affordable homes built last year. The Housing for All plan had aimed to deliver 13,130 new social homes in 2023. However, the final figure shows 11,939 homes were delivered by local authorities and approved by housing bodies last year. Tánaiste Mícheál Martin says while they fell short of targets, he says more social homes were built in 2023 compared to years prior.
Well, social are very strong, but social is 11,000 delivered. That's compared to anything ever achieved in the last 10 years, it's a way ahead. But I would point out the fact that it is an incredible turnaround from where we were 3 years ago. We were nowhere near 11,000 social houses delivered.
Donegal County Council's Fianna Fáil whip believes the difficult task for Simon Harris as he prepares to take on the role of Taoiseach will be gaining the trust of his own party. The current Minister for Further and Higher Education was confirmed as the new Fine Gael leader at the weekend. He's expected to be announced as Taoiseach after the Dáil Easter recess. Councillor Kieran Brogan expects Minister Harris will work well with the coalition party leaders.
There's a huge amount of work for him to undertake at the minute. And then you have the programme for government that's there now with the two leaders in Micheál Martin, the Taoiseach, and in Eamon Ryan as well. There seems to have been a good level of trust and understanding with the three leaders over the, since the formation of this government, to be fair. So he probably will fit in well to that, the fact that he's been at the cabinet table with them for some time. So I suppose the challenge may be his own party more than the other leaders at this point in time. And I suppose every party wants to put their own stamp in government. But the programme for government is there at the moment, and I suppose that's what they're going to work through.
A man in Derry who was arrested for shoplifting yesterday was later found to have been wanted in relation to a number of similar incidents. After stealing from two stores, police made that discovery. Tom Douglas has the details.
PSNI received a report at 1:50pm yesterday afternoon of a man who had taken a number of high-value meat products without paying. A second store in the same mall made a similar report 10 minutes later. He was arrested on suspicion of two counts of theft as a result. After his arrest, police discovered the 47-year-old was also wanted in relation to a number of offences dating to 2023. This then saw him being further arrested. This was on suspicion of burglary, fraud by false representation and three more counts of theft. He remains in custody at this time.
A former General Secretary of the INMO says HSE's current recruitment freeze damages the health service. The matter was referred to the Workplace Relations Commission by the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation yesterday. The INMO says the freeze is having a detrimental impact on patient and staff safety. Its former General Secretary Liam Doran says the moratorium does more bad than it does good.
A recruitment freeze is a nonsensical knee-jerk reaction of management, which damages the health service, it damages patients, which is the fatal flaw of it, but it causes excessive workloads upon staff, and they have health and safety issues, but they also have professional practice issues because they just can't deliver the care that the patient's situation and presentation warrant. When, shall we say, equilibrium might be restored and the recruitment freeze is lifted, we then have difficulty in, if you like, re-entering the recruitment pool, as we're competing around the globe for nurses and midwives, and we can't suddenly turn on the tap, or we'll call off the recruitment freeze at 5 to 9 on the Monday morning, and by 9 o'clock everything's better.
Recruitment of young people and students as money mules via social media is on the rise. Bank of Ireland has issued a warning to all students who are planning to head abroad this summer to be wary of anyone attempting to move money through their bank accounts. If convicted, your account will be closed and you could be brought to court. Paul O'Brien from Bank of Ireland Security says it can ruin travel opportunities.
It's kind of J1 planning season at the moment, but if you get a criminal conviction for allowing your account to be used in that way, you won't get a visa, and it will mean restrictions to travel, and it can mean ruining that opportunity of travelling abroad or working abroad. It can raise red flags if money moves through your account. What we're saying to people is this will come to light. You will be caught. Allowing your bank account to be used in this way is a criminal offence, and there are very serious consequences to that. If you allow your account to be used, it will be reported to the guards and your account will be closed.
Over 2,6700 in funding has been announced to develop and upgrade 9 outdoor recreation projects in Donegal. It's part of a €4.1 million fund unveiled by the Minister for Rural and Community Development today. Donegal County Council, the Inishowen Development Partnership and the Donegal Local Development Company will receive a share of the funds for the creation and upgrading of trails across the county. Minister Heather Humphreys says the project will be a huge boost to local communities.
I'm delighted to announce an investment of over €4.1 million to support the development of over 150 outdoor recreation projects in rural Ireland across the country. Each project will receive up to €30,000, and this funding will be used to enhance outdoor amenities such as our walkways, cycleways, lakes and beaches. The health benefits from being outdoors combined with the tourism benefits are well recognised. So as the evenings get longer and hopefully the weather improves, I would encourage everyone to get out and enjoy the natural beauty of our rural countryside.
Police in the north are to meet with Stormont MLAs to discuss their personal security arrangements. It's after concerns were raised about their safety. The PSNI says it's committed to supporting elected representatives so they can do their jobs free from harassment or intimidation. The DUP's Maurice Bradley tells us about some examples he's seen.
A few offices have been visited over the past number of years by people in the middle of the night. Posters put outside my office, which I watched on CCTV, and then when they were up, I come down and took them down about 20 minutes later. I've had threats of pickets outside the office recently, which didn't materialise, and I've had a bit of abuse at a local football match.
The 100% Redress Party has announced another local election candidate. Joy Beard will contest June's elections for the party in the Buncrana electoral area. She's been a defective concrete block campaigner for over 7 years and was one of the co-founders of the Redress focus groups. Ms Beard says while the defective block crisis will be on the top of the agenda, she also wants to tackle other issues that matter. Meanwhile, Buncrana man Adrian McAleer has thrown his hat into the ring to contest this year's local elections. He'll run in the Buncrana electoral area as an independent. Mr McAleer says through his community work, it's clear that Buncrana and South Inishowen need a new independent candidate. Four men have been arrested after drugs were seized during searches in Derry. Police conducted a search of a property on the Old Fort area of Strathfoy last evening, and a quantity of Class A and B drugs were seized along with a sum of cash. The men aged 20, 25 and 54 were arrested on suspicion of a number of drug-related offences and remain in custody at this time. All of the winter maintenance routes will be graded in Donegal this evening. Donegal County Council ask road users to assume no roads ice free. The treatment of roads will commence at around an hour's time at 6 o'clock. The time is now approaching 12 minutes past 5. We're going to go to a short break and Mark Gallagher will be back with all the latest in sport. It's 5:15. Mark Gallagher has all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Donna Marie. Good evening. We're going to start with soccer. Donegal's Amber Barrett and Tyler Toland have been named in the Republic of Ireland women's squad for the upcoming Euro 2025 qualifying matches against France and England. Barrett keeps her place in the squad from the last set of fixtures, while Toland makes a comeback to the squad after being absent for two international friendly games against Italy and Wales in February. Ireland travel to face France in Metz on Friday the 5th of April before hosting England at the Aviva Stadium the following Tuesday. Newcastle's Sandro Tonali, who is currently serving a 10-month ban for gambling offences, could be set for a further spell on the sidelines after being charged with misconduct following a breach of the English FA's gambling rules. Tonali has now been accused of placing 50 bets on matches between the 12th of August and the 12th of October last year. The €70 million signing from AC Milan still has 5 months left on his original ban. In motorsport, reigning Pirelli National Superstock champion Richard Kerr and AMD Motorsport have announced they intend to compete in the Moto America Superstock 1000 Championship. The Kilmacrenan rider, who took the British title after taking 2 wins and 9 podiums during 2023, will continue on board the team's Honda Fireblade and will be a Honda-supported rider in the series. The first round of the championship is set to take place at Barber Motorsports Park in Alabama on the 17th of May. In Gaelic games, Donegal made it 2 wins from 2 in the Airgrid Ulster Football Under 20 Championship last night with a comfortable 113-5 points win over Fermanagh in Ballybofey. Paddy McIlwee was the star man as he hit 1-3. Luke McGlynn kicked 3 points, while Carl Joseph Malloy and Oisin Caulfield also chipped in with 2 points apiece. Donegal will now play Armagh in 2 weeks' time, where the winners will top the group and progress straight through to the Ulster semi-finals. Manager Jean-Paul Barrett says this year's Under-20 Ulster Championship is completely open.
Ulster's a minefield. Absolute minefield, so it is, and there's a lot of very good teams, a lot of quality players, massive amount of work. Like, you know, we've seen Down won the Under-20 Championship last year, and they got beat by Derry in the first game, and they held Tyrone in the last game. Actually, Tyrone were lucky to equalise in injury time, like, you know, and then I see Monaghan beaten Down today. Listen, there's massive competition. This thing is completely open.
Meanwhile, Tyrone defeated Derry by 13 points to 1-9 at Celtic Park. Gavin Potter's last gasp point secured the win for Paul Devlin's side after a Derry goal had tied things up just moments earlier. Devlin praised his players for showing the courage needed to win the match and is looking forward to the season ahead.
Delighted with the effort of the lads. You can see there's different lads coming from the bench starting last week as well, and the effort they're putting in there. So every day we're telling the lads that there's always horse of course is the old saying, you know, you can do all the tactics you want and all the stuff. Yes, that's important, but you know, you still need a bit of this in here, the old talking about a bit of good heart and desire. And you've seen that in both teams tonight. You have to give credit to Derry too. There's a cracking game, you know, and yes, an exciting year in front of us.
Elsewhere in Ulster, Donegal's next opponents Armagh defeated Cavan 2-9 to 2-7, and Monaghan overcame Down by 112 to 13 points. In golf, Leona Maguire is level par 7 holes into her opening round at the Ford Championship on the LPGA Tour. Stephanie Meadow doesn't commence her round until after 9 p.m. Irish time in Arizona, where there is currently a 3-way tie for the lead on 5-under. Padraig Harrington's first round at the Houston Open in Texas will get underway just after 6 p.m. this evening. And lastly from me, tonight on The Score, former Finn Harps manager and captain Anthony Gorman joins us for our weekly League of Ireland chat, and John Francis Dugan looks ahead to the Oscar Trainer Cup semi-final for the Donegal Junior League. As it is Allianz National League finals weekend, 2012 All-Ireland winner Frank McGlynn previews Donegal's clash with Armagh and Derry's meeting with Dublin. While in rugby, Alex McDonald has the lowdown on City of Derry, who play in the Ulster Junior Cup final on Saturday. That is all on The Score this evening after the 7 p.m. news. We will be back with more sport tomorrow afternoon. Back to you, Donna Marie.
Thanks, Mark. Looking now to weather, it will be cold today with outbreaks of rain, heavy at times, falling asleet over high ground. That rain will turn patchier through the evening, highest temperatures of 5 to 7 degrees. And it will be mainly dry early tonight with clear spells. A few showers will develop towards the morning, cold with lowest temperatures of minus 2 to plus 1 degrees with frost and icy patches. To conclude this evening's news, Gardaí have seized a number of items today in connection with over 4 million euro worth of cocaine washing up in Donegal last year. Tributes continue to be paid to a Donegal woman and her two daughters killed in a road crash on Tuesday. 4,170 children are living in emergency accommodation in Ireland, a new record high. And Donegal County Council's Fianna Fáil whip believes the difficult task for Simon Harris as he prepares to take on the role of Taoiseach will be gaining the trust of his own party. That's all for now. I'll be back with the latest headlines at 6 o'clock. Chris Ashmore will have all of the latest farming news and views after the obituary notices. Good evening. The obituary notices this Thursday evening, March 28th. The death has taken place of Margaret McLean, Ballina Fulcara. Her remains are reposing at Sweeney Funeral Directors Ballybo's Fulcara until Rosary this evening at 8 p.m. and again tomorrow from 3 p.m. until 6:30, followed by removal to St Finian's Church Fulcara for 7 p.m. to repose overnight. Funeral service will take place on Saturday at 11 a.m. with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral service can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv or the Sweeney Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has taken place of Edith Rebecca Catterson, Calhame Convoy. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral leaving there on Saturday afternoon at 1:30 for 2 p.m. funeral service in St Patrick's Church, Dunamore, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, donations in lieu to the Oncology Day Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Eamon Mullen, Portnabla, Dunfanaghy. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral service in Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy, on Saturday at 11 a.m. Burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Mass can be viewed live on mcn.live. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, donations in lieu if desired to the Lake House Nursing Home, care of any family member or James Harkin Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Nora Brown, née Gallagher, Main Street, Carrigans. Nora will repose at her sister Joan McGee's residence, 2 Mill Park, Carrigans, today and tomorrow, with rosary each evening at 8 o'clock. Funeral cortege leaving to Mill Park, Carrigans at 10 a.m. on Saturday. going to St. Bathan's Church, St. Johnston, for 11 o'clock funeral mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu if desired to Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital or Cancer Care West, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. The death has occurred of Tom McPartlin, Brookfield Donegal Town, formerly Drumcarran, County Leitrim. Tom's remains will repose at his residence in Donegal Down today until 9 p.m. and tomorrow from 2 p.m. until 9 p.m. Remains will leave his home on Saturday morning at 10:15 for funeral service at 11 a.m. in St. Patrick's Church, Donegal Town, with burial immediately afterwards in Clare Graveyard. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, in memory of Tom to the Northwest Hospice. House private on Saturday morning, please. Tom's funeral mass in St. Patrick's Church can be viewed live on mcn.live. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll be looking at how the weather is impacting on the farming community. I've been speaking with Amy Ford, news editor of the Irish Farmers Journal. But first, Donegal farmers are being encouraged by the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue, to attend the Basic Income Support for Sustainability Clinics. These BIS clinics will take place around the country. There's two coming up in Donegal, the first in the Unit 10 of the Spriaga Sport premises in Carndonagh. That's on Wednesday, April the 24th, and then in the Central Hotel, Donegal Town, on Thursday, April the 25th. Both clinics will start at 10 o'clock and finish at 4:30. The minister pointed out that these in-person clinics have been organised to help farmers making their applications online for the Basic Income Support for Sustainability and other area-based schemes, and department staff will provide one-to-one support. Well, delighted to say I'm joined by Amy Ford, news editor of the Irish Farmers Journal. Well, Amy, one topic dominating at the moment, that's the weather. The fodder committee is to meet tomorrow, but unless things pick up pretty quickly, we could be heading for a real crisis.
Sadly, it's the only show in town, and not in a good way, Chris, in fairness. I think every conversation between anyone, whether they're in farming or not, this week and over the last number of weeks has been about the weather and how cat it's literally been. Look, there's been literally a spring deluge. Rainfall is up almost 50% in parts of the country. And many farmers that we've spoken to here in the Irish Farmers Journal have said it hasn't stopped raining since June or July last year. And I think that's a real feeling out there, because that actually has been the case. Rainfall is so far up. And I suppose the impact on this then that this is having on farmers, weather has basically ground and field work and turnout to a halt. So farmers have been unable to get out into fields to plant spring crops. They've been unable to spread slurry or fertiliser, and they've obviously been held back from turning out livestock onto ground as well as a result.
So the knock-on effects, if things don't improve in the next few weeks, well, they're certainly going to be very serious.
They are. Look, silage is running short on farms in parts of the country. I suppose, look, this side of the country that we're on compared to the other side of the Shannon, maybe, if I can say it like that. Look, we're prepared for longer winters in general, but this one is taking the biscuit in a way. It's going on longer than we're used to, I suppose you could say. So fodder is stretched. Farmers are having to pay more for feed or having to buy in silage reserves from other parts of the country where maybe more of it was made. Straw supply is also becoming an issue. And I suppose then that's all costing farmers at this time of year, when maybe they'd have a stock out on grass, being fed off the cheapest fodder, I suppose you could call it, in terms of grass that we have. Farmers are forced to keep cattle inside and cows inside, and that then is also having a knock-on impact in terms of slurry slurry tanks are starting to fill up because our cattle are continuously housed. We're not sure when lads will get a chance to go out with slurry because ground conditions are so bad, essentially. You mentioned there that the fodder committee is meeting. That's to meet tomorrow morning, Friday morning. It's been reconvened by Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue, and it's to discuss the challenges and the possible solutions that are potentially out there to help farmers cope through the prolonged wet weather. Something that's been called for is a type of fodder support scheme. The minister had kind of ruled that out already in parliamentary questions last week. He said it hasn't been there, and Chagas could have said in recent weeks that there's plenty of fodder and silage for sale online and that it isn't an issue, but I suppose we'll have a proper update after the meeting in the morning.
And tell us, what sort of prices are being paid for baled silage and pit silage at the moment?
So this week at the minute, you're looking at 40 to 45 euro for baled silage or 65 euro a tonne for pit silage. Straw prices are also kind of up, and that was in short supply before winter began. I suppose an issue that might come a cropper on that front later in the year is, obviously I mentioned spring planting there, and lads, just tillage farmers just can't get out, and the mood is particularly low amongst them, and hopefully the weather does turn and they get a chance to sow some crops. But there's going to be a smaller area in tillage this year, and that's obviously going to result in a smaller crop of straw, I'll call it, if you can say that, in the back end of next year. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out, if there isn't that amount of straw. But look, farmers have said they've never seen land so wet as a result of the relentless rain over the last weeks and months.
And of course, with more cattle remaining housed, it means inputs are higher for farmers. Are we going to see a lot of people with cash flow problems?
So potentially, as we said there, like the cheapest feed for cattle in Ireland is grass, and having them out on grass. I suppose there's two issues there that are at the minute in terms of inputs. So lads can't get out to graze high covers on fields, and then can't close them off for silage, obviously. Is there going to be a knock-on impact in terms of silage making? Obviously, first cut is going to be pushed back in parts of the country. How is this going to impact next winter? But at this moment in time, farmers are having to feed more concentrate or straights to animals that are housed, and that's costing them money when they mightn't have paid for it at other times. The same time in other years, if that makes sense, that's going to cost some money. The contractors, when they get going, whenever the weather turns, and it will turn, they're going to have a massive backlog of work there to be doing as well. And the cost of that, the cost of fertiliser, obviously that's there, if lads are able to get out with that. So look, there's a whole kind of calamity of issues that could impact there. But I suppose the advice is to try and stay positive if at all possible. And look, the weather, we'll all keep an eye on the weather forecast. And just to talk to other people around you, talk to other farmers. You know, everyone's in the one boat, and hopefully it does turn sooner rather than later.
And I understand that milk supply could be back as much as 10%.
Yeah, this is one of the knock-on impacts, obviously, of cows essentially not converting grass to milk directly outside. So milk supply is back by as much as 10% at some processors around the country. I suppose, look, Lakeland Dairies, that's seen the smallest reduction in milk supply. Volumes are back 3% there. The other end of the country, in Tyrone, a spokesperson said milk supply is back around 9% on the year to date compared to 2023. And they said analysis suggests that the main driver of reduced deliveries is 10% lower milk yield per cow, and that's caused by the challenging weather conditions. In dairy goat, volumes are back by around 9% as well compared to 2023, and they're all saying that the weather will be key over the next number of weeks, so it'll be interesting to see how that will pan out.
And finally, Amy, the weather has forced an acres rule change.
Yes, so an exemption has been granted to the Action in Acres, that's the Environmental Management of Arable Fallow, and that basically requires farmers to create an area of bare ground by shallow cultivation by 31st March each year. However, obviously, looking out the window, the department has decided that due to the adverse weather, if ground conditions don't allow farmers in Acres Tranche 1 to actually get out and do that action, no shallow cultivation will be required this spring. So they have sort of a derogation on it essentially this year. And that the objective of that action is to basically establish a bare fallow field each spring for declining ground nesting birds such as lapwing and hen harriers, and in the autumn then to provide a catch crop to absorb nutrients. So advisors in Acres were sent a letter on that earlier in the week. So, and that's, I suppose, a positive move that farmers don't have to comply with that because they literally can't.
And that was Amy Ford, news editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. In other news, would you like to know how you can save money or make money using renewable energy? The Irish Farmers Journal New Renewables Roadshow will demonstrate how farmers, businesses and households can save money and create a new income stream through renewable energy. This series of events takes place across the country next month and all are free to attend. The nearest one to Donegal will be in the Errigal Country House in Cavan on the 23rd of April at 7:30 p.m. More details on the Irish Farmers Journal website. And before we go, just to give you some advance notice of a spring grass walk that's been organised by Teagasc. It will take place on the farm of Stephen Fitzpatrick in St Johnston on Wednesday, April the 10th at 11 a.m. Topics to be discussed will include grassland management in light of the difficult spring conditions, fertiliser advice for grazing and silage for 2024, and establishing and managing grass clover swards. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.